This is Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Lugeman. Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. And Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. Begins
right now.
All right, welcome in Jaguars This Week. Full crowd this evening. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lugeman, Tony Boselli, and from Jaguars.com, John Osher. Welcome, guys. By the way, this is show number 4 on the countdown to 4-3-2-1 of the Jaguars This Week run.
And then it all changes.
And it all changes.
It'll be over how many years?
15.
15 years.
It started right before the draft, 2 weeks before the draft in 1998.
So basically what happened.
So before Fred Taylor.
So basically what happened is John Osher and I came on the show and we killed it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You've had your moments.
Been there, done that.
So we're here for the next hour to talk about the Jaguars. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time early on the Jaguars. We've got plenty to talk about from around the National Football League. The Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. We'll start with the big news today, and I'm sure you guys all saw it. You don't tweet, so you probably saw it on your phone somewhere. But the tweet came across that the Patriots had cut Aaron Hernandez, and you didn't have to go far back to realize that he had been arrested. Big news, groundbreaking.
Yeah,
news,
but
really.
The biggest news was his arrest and what the charges actually were, because so many people were thinking that it was just going to be an obstruction of justice or of justice charge,
right.
And then all of a sudden you're talking first degree murder, right. And then another five
gun-related charges.
Weapons charges that are to boot. I mean, that was shocking.
Yeah, following news. I don't look at my phone and say wow a whole lot, but I was in a meeting, sort of planning out this week's cover, the season's coverage, and I came across and I was like, whoa, is it unprecedented? Is it, where does this rank in terms of shocking news?
I was trying to
active player.
I was trying to think of that. I mean, as far as active players go.
I mean, OJ, but
whoa,
he wasn't active.
Caruth.
Ray was
sure,
the offseason.
Right.
I mean, Ray Caruth would be close.
But we're talking
about
one of the best players at his position
now,
in
Caruth
the NFL.
Was a first-round pick, though. I mean,
yeah,
he's up there.
Colorado. He was a good player.
Yeah, he was a really good player, but he hadn't done as much early in his career as this guy. I mean,
I'd say it's pretty equal.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, we're talking about Aaron Hernandez being accused of pulling the trigger.
So was Ray Caruth.
23-year-old.
Caruth's pretty bad.
He didn't do it, but I mean, that was probably, I mean, it's still bad. I mean, what Ray Caruth did was basically arrange the murder of his pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, the crime is every bit as bad.
But with the Hernandez thing, I mean, you actually had almost a kind of a precursor leading up to it,
sure,
to where there was a lot of news kind of, and people were anticipating what was going to happen.
Different era, too. There's no tweeting with Caruth. I mean, this is a different where it's in your face all the time.
And we didn't get a whole lot of, I mean, nobody expected that he would be charged with murder.
Right.
I mean, I think a lot of people were expecting the other side of things. But, I mean, to have this happen to a current player, a young player that plays for one of the most respected franchises in the National Football League, and what we all consider the dead zone, in which NFL teams are most concerned about their players getting in trouble. To have this happen, I don't think anybody ever envisioned this happening with a player of that stature.
There's no way to really tell, but Ray Caruth in 3 years had 62 catches and 4 touchdowns. I mean, that's not even close. This guy had 41 touchdowns in 51 games. This is the highest caliber player active to have this happen.
Well, something similar, Ray Lewis. I mean, everyone forgets that Ray Lewis was convicted. He plead out to obstruction of justice, but he was in jail on a murder investigation with blood reportedly on his clothes and in the limo of the person who died. Now, he ultimately pleaded to obstruction of justice, served his time.
And the Ravens didn't cut him.
It's a different era, though, now. Commissioner Tagliabue was much more lenient on player discipline. Roger Goodell has set precedent that they're not going to put up with it in today's era of perception and everything that goes on. The Patriots obviously knew this was coming down because the police had to leak it to them.
Right.
And they immediately cut him. Now, the interesting thing is, watching on ESPN, reading this, in the arraignment, they mentioned that he did not act alone. There's two other suspects. I don't believe they have him in custody yet, or
they haven't been charged.
But he said there was two people that collaborated with him, and I listened to an expert defense attorney on the way over here, and he was saying there could be multiple strategies, but the strategy could be to get all three of these guys in custody and see which one flips on the other to find out really who pulled the trigger.
You know, you talked about precedent setting, right? How about the fact that a couple hours later, the Browns cut that undrafted rookie kid, Oscar Walcott.
That's much easier cutting.
Well, no, I agree it is much easier, but you talk about precedent.
Yeah, but I mean, how many people even heard about that today? I mean, this undrafted rookie free agent from, unfortunately, the University of Virginia was a linebacker, and he was at a nightclub in New Jersey and punched a guy, and he's being charged with attempted murder.
For a punch.
Because the guy's in critical condition that he punched, and supposedly this young man, the undrafted rookie free agent, Oscar Walcott, had an incident at the University of Virginia to where he had an issue very similar to what happened in New Jersey.
Well, the interesting thing, Jeff, you talk about prior incidents with that young man. I mean, remember, Hernandez dropped to the fourth round because there were character questions.
He was first-round pick talent.
Oh, without a doubt.
And everybody knew it.
Patriots took a chance. It looked like everything was going their way. They hit the jackpot. And now you have a third-year player, a guy who's going to his fourth year, top of his game, like you said, Brian.
Absolutely.
Is cut by the team and is spending the night tonight and probably several nights until this, at least he goes to trial. Now, he's innocent until proven guilty. But he's in for murder charge, 5 gun charges, and no bail.
No bail.
Was set. They denied bail. The judge did. And so, obviously, they believe the state has enough evidence in a strong enough case where they're going to go to the mat with this guy.
And unfortunately, a lot of the talk about this whole thing is about Aaron Hernandez and his future. I mean, we're in very little talk about Odin Lloyd, the guy that was killed. You know, I mean, somebody lost their life. You know, somebody who, you know, late in the morning or early in the morning, whatever you want to consider it, lost their life and has a family, and they were present at the arraignment today, and some of them had to leave because they were just too grief-stricken. It's a tragedy. I mean, it's a tragedy on multiple fronts. One, first and foremost, somebody lost their life. And number two, you have a very young, outstanding player who is looking at maybe life in prison, who has an 8-month-old newborn child with a fiance at home. I mean, there's a lot of tragedies with this one incident.
And you got to wonder. I mean, I'm sure it'll come out in the case. Reading on the out of the ESPN article, they stated that it started in a dispute at a nightclub between Owen and Hernandez, Owen Lloyd and Hernandez, and the dispute carried over to his death. I mean, and
that was a couple days before the actual killing happened.
Jeff, what happened to lead to the point where Owen Lloyd was killed? I mean, it's tragic, and it's an unbelievable story to think here's one of the brightest young players in the NFL who had his entire future in front of him. Another young guy, only 27 years old, Owen Lloyd, his entire life in front of him, and something to the extent that would cause, whether it was Hernandez or one of his associates or somebody, to kill Mr. Lloyd is just shocking.
And kind of a sidebar of this, I mean, obviously somebody lost their life. The New England Patriots release him, and the reports are is that it will be difficult for them to recover the signing bonus, whereas Michael Vick, they kept him around, they recovered that signing bonus, and some of the experts are saying it would be very difficult for the Patriots to recover a signing bonus, which I think is somewhere in the neighborhood. It's
$16 million is what they paid, I believe.
Well, now,
and
the question is, did they give it all to him?
And well, they still have some due next year, but
have fun going after that because they'll point to moral clauses and everything else. I mean, there's going to be a fight for that, and my guess is
but does the league change because of this?
I think the Patriots, what they said is, we'd be better cutting bait, washing our hands of this right now, because even if we keep them on and try to go after that money, the chances of us recovering, and to what extent are we going to recover? Because what money's been spent? Obviously, there's going to be financial issues now that he's in jail, not making a living, and bills keep on coming. And so
Has family.
You wonder, the Patriots said, it's not worth. We're better off cutting bait, going on, moving forward, putting this behind us than trying to drag it along.
Having this not be headlines, having this not be a discussion, yes, you would think they would have thought, let's move on.
Could this change the way the NFL does business? I mean, could
in what way, Jeff? What do you? I mean,
as far as contracts,
example.
I mean, contracts. You know,
contracts for injury
have split contracts for injury for typically players that don't have a lot of leverage. Will this now make the NFL take a look at trying to come up with some type of language in contracts that most agent clients wouldn't hesitate at? That would have language in there. If, hey, look, if you're in jail for something that you do, and your services aren't available, we can recoup a prorated portion of guaranteed money.
Well, yeah, I doubt this one incident does.
Well, they already really
but,
do.
But there's been a couple incidents over the last. I mean,
there's been incidents for
but
years.
But we're talking large amounts of money.
But Jeff,
Ray Lewis made large amounts of money.
Yeah, but I mean, $12 million that we're talking about for Aaron Hernandez, and even more.
But Jeff, they already have that mechanism in place. The Patriots, if they would not have released them, could have gone back and got that money, and just like the Falcons did with Michael Vick. And so that's already in place. There's already split contracts. There's even already contracts. Heck, Justin Blackmon has language in his contract that protects the team based on off-field instances. So I don't know if there's going to be a major change because I think those mechanisms are already in place.
You know, there obviously is a level of comfort that every franchise has with a player when they draft him. You know, they know because the level of investigation into every player who ever comes through the building is steep. And so that's really where I wonder if it's going to change. I mean, obviously the Patriots had fourth-round pick. All right, we know that there's a history there. At least we're all hearing there's a history there. So they leveled it off. So does the threshold for guys off-the-field incidences drop even further?
I don't think the league's going to change.
I mean, it's not
it
choir
based
boy
on
ball.
What is
I
sort of
that.
I think this is still an outlying incident, obviously. So, but you know.
But you do see a reactionary element to the NFL where
they already change. They already investigate pretty heavily. I mean, I don't know the Patriots. I mean, obviously the Patriots had known this coming to make a different decision, but you know, they only invested a fourth round pick in him, and they had him for 3 years. They had him for two, I believe, before they re-signed him. So they invested the fourth-round pick. They got him there. They obviously thought he was behaving okay, so I guess they deemed it worth the risk to move forward. I don't know that you're going to see a systematic change in how they investigate players based on this.
No, I don't mean investigate players. I mean, will you see more owners say, I don't care what round you take him in, if that's his history, I don't want him here.
No. I think talent trumps it. I mean,
you think talent will still trump it?
Absolutely. Whether it's right or wrong morally, the reality is
it's tough to disagree with it. It's a league based on talent.
The reality is guys are going to get picked. You can have a very checkered pass, which has been proven in this league
over and over,
and still get second and third and sometimes even fourth chances if you're good enough.
And from a football standpoint, if the Patriots hadn't re-signed him, they made a good pick. They got 3 years out of the guy. Now, everything else aside.
If they hadn't re-signed him.
Right.
Well, and I'll tell you this,
for a fourth-round pick, he got great production for 3 years.
I really wasn't even talking so much about the value as much as I was talking about the sting that the Patriots have taken on it.
I'll tell you
this. They paid off for him on the field.
I'll tell you this. If Aaron Hernandez pleads out or lesser charges, and let's just make a scenario up where
you're going to say the obvious.
Where he serves 2 years and is out on probation, there will be an NFL team
he'll play again.
That will sign him.
Well, Michael Vick.
I'm just telling you right now, Michael Vick.
If he's convicted of murder, you think that somebody will give him another chance?
No, if he's convicted of murder, if he's convicted of murder, he's going to spend 15 to 20 to life in prison.
A lesser charge.
He'd be playing with
obstruction of justice.
Burt Reynolds.
If he goes, if he pleads to an obstruction of
justice. Nice reference.
Obstruction of justice charge and does 2 years.
People thought Vick
was the name of that team, by the way.
Ray Lewis.
Mean Machine.
Ray Lewis had the same thing. Ray Lewis had obstruction of justice.
Absolutely.
Right.
Hall of Fame career.
All right, folks, stay with us. We'll talk more. We'll take your calls, 355-NFL-1. What do you think? Is Aaron Hernandez done? Should he be? Do you take a chance on players like this? We'll come back and talk about it with you at 355-NFL-1. This is Jaguars This Week. Joe.
All right, Brian. Hey, Jaguars fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. Then you earn points every time you post something Jaguars and use those points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets for the Jaguars game in London. Sounds easy? It is. Get on it right now. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Hey parents, now's the time to sign your children up for the Jaguars Kids Club. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit that includes a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, t-shirt, invites to some exclusive Jaguar events, a birthday card from Jackson DeVille, and other really cool Jaguars merchandise. More info, just visit JaguarsKidsClub.com.
All right, Joe, welcome back. Jaguars This Week, we got callers on the line. We will go to you. Before we get there, though, you'll want to hang on. 10 minutes from now, Pete Prisco joins us to share his thoughts on Aaron Hernandez, and we'll also ask him about Maurice Jones-Drew. You always know he brings it straight to you, so hang on. Right after the news at the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Pete Prisco. All right, back to the phone lines, and we grab Chris, who joins us from Orange Park on the Metro PCS call-in line. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, stupid question here, and I'm not comparing DUI to murder, but was the DUI arrest for Blackman before or after the draft?
After.
Well, you had one charge before, and then...
One charge is junior year.
In college.
Right.
And then you had the DUI in Oklahoma after the draft. Right.
Well,
after the draft, before
Hernandez,
he signed his contract.
Okay. Is the thing with Hernandez going to make NFL teams really take a lot harder, stronger look at college players that have maybe a few issues that could turn serious? Or is Ray Lewis the rule that he screws up and then turns into a great Hall of Fame player?
I don't honestly think GMs and coaches and clubs can take any harder look at the college drafts.
They look hard as it is.
They look at every player. They dig deep.
They turn them
inside out, and then they make decisions on every player. Every team takes guys off draft boards. I mean, every team has guys they won't draft. So they're already looking at it. I mean, I think it'll be a big story. I think it'll be a big media story.
I don't think it changes one thing.
But it's not going to change the reality of the league.
I think they're doing that already, but I still believe, even though, Tony, you said that there are protections in for the team for this kind of incident, it makes it very hard with the way it is now. There could be some type of language inserted in a player's contract that would make it easier to recoup money for a player that has this type of issue.
All right, Chris, appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, but we say this type of issue. I mean, there's not a lot of guys getting drafted who have murder charges against them.
Yeah, when they leave for the off-season program, this is not part of the speech. I mean, this is an outlier. So,
355 NFL1. We grab John in Keystone Heights. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
My question, this whole thing kind of baffles me because I'm thinking that he doesn't seem to be more as intelligent as maybe he should have been to being a college graduate. But actually, I don't know if he graduated, but to be in college, and
John, I don't think he's the first college graduate to allegedly kill somebody.
No, I'm not. And the thing is, are they going to maybe put in maybe what they call a Hernandez clause now into a contract where
the murder clause? You know, you think they're going to have a murder clause if you murder somebody, you can't play in the NFL?
Yeah, that's in there.
No. We don't have to pay you all this money.
It's already in there.
Yeah.
I was hearing talks saying that he still could get this money.
Well, because they cut him
and all that kind of stuff.
Well, no. He had guaranteed portions of the contract that he had just signed, which the team can't get that back, and some of those payments are still due in the future. So the team is obligated unless. Through some legal maneuver that they can fight to get that back. Now the question is, will that even work? You know, because there's not really any language that says that. Hey, look, the only language is that if you refused to provide service, there's nothing in there that says if you are unable to provide services due to a legal issue.
But aren't there moral clauses in the? Aren't there moral clauses already in these contracts?
Have you ever seen one that you signed?
Okay, did you read your entire contract before you signed it?
Yeah.
I did.
There's a difference there. SC, UVA.
No, I wasn't worried about – I guess I wasn't overly concerned about committing crimes. And
the Jaguars were not concerned about you committing crimes
either. So it wasn't really a concern looking at – I didn't look for the murder clause in my contract.
All right. We've hit the bottom of the hour. Let's take news. Don't forget, folks, coming up the other side, you'll want to hear what Pete Prisco has to say about Aaron Hernandez and also Maurice Jones-Drew, not charged with the incident at the Conk House earlier this month. Pete's next after the news, Joe.
All right, Brian. Hey, are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You'll get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. The always effervescent Pete Prisco is next. You don't want to go away. Keep it right here at Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week here on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Fanatics.com. Brian Sexton.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Second half hour here. Sexton, Lagerman, Buscelli, Osher, and Pete Prisco joins us now of CBSSportsLine.com. You should follow his tweets, folks, if you were on Twitter. And if you have, you are enjoying the conversation. We should also point out there are three more Jaguars this week after tonight. Our final Wednesday night show after a 15-year run ends on July the 17th. Then we'll take a couple of weeks off. We'll get started back up with our Thursday show on August the 1st, which is the first hour, Gus Bradley, Jeff, and myself. Second hour, Tony and Mark Brunell jump in. Then on the 12th of August, after the first Jaguars preseason game, Prisco joins us for the Monday night show that he will co-host with Tony and myself throughout the course of the season. First of all, Pete, are you in the country or in Aruba?
I am in the country, but soon going to Aruba.
Pete makes it down to the island, man, almost immediately after.
Pete, how in the world could you be leaving? I mean, is this not the biggest off-the-field NFL story that you can think of?
An active player in a murder, first-degree murder charges? Yeah, it's pretty darn close to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just mind-numbing to think that this kid could be sitting in his pool drinking drinks with as many women as he wanted around him, and he's out there, you know, orchestrating an execution of a guy he knew well. When you really cut to the chase, it boggles the mind, doesn't it?
I was trying to think today of another NFL story as far as a player off the field issue that's bigger than this. Current player.
The Ray Lewis story was huge.
The
Ray Lewis thing around the Super Bowl, blood on his clothes, blood on the limo that he was involved in.
He was ESPN individual. Every day leading it. I mean,
that was a huge.
Yeah, but it's still it's
story.
A little different now with the internet and there's
it
more.
It was 24/7 ESPN. I think 12 years removed, we've forgotten a little bit how overwhelming the Ray Lewis story was. This is pretty similar to that.
Yeah, but we didn't have Twitter then, though. That's the Twitter and Facebook and everything else. I think that makes it different. You know, it's nonstop on Twitter all day around the clock, and so it's a little different. Could you imagine if we had Twitter when Ray Lewis was going through his thing? It would have been the field day for everybody. So, yeah, I think that's changed it a bit. But Ray Lewis was huge. But the difference is this kid is actually charged with first-degree murder. That's the biggest difference.
Pete, at what point? I mean, if you look at the timeline, it's interesting. Obviously, this investigation was very thorough, going on for a while. The Patriots kept very quiet outside of sending Hernandez home. But the timing of him being released, I got to believe that the Patriots were made aware by law enforcement that this was coming down.
Yeah, the word is they made the decision last week once this happened that if there was going to be a charge made, he was going to get released. And that leads me to believe whether it was a murder charge or whatever, but that leads me to believe that there's been other stuff going on with him. And there's other stuff that has gone on with him back to Florida, which, you know, begs the question, what did Urban Meyer know, and how much did he bury his head in the sand? And when Belichick went down there to talk to him about all those Florida players, what did Urban tell him? Did he tell him the kid was a good kid? Did he say that he didn't have any problems with him? I mean, they have a very close relationship. So that's an interesting sidelight to it, but you know, the bottom line is they got 3 years out of him for, you know, a fourth-round pick, and he was very productive. And so that asked this question. Was it worth it? You know, I've got people on Twitter from the Patriots Nation killing me, saying, oh, they got 3 good years from him, and so it was worth it, whatever they got out of him. And I beg to differ. You know, you get 3 years out of a guy. I disagree with that.
Yeah, well, the pick was worth it, but the re-signing wasn't worth it.
Yeah, that's the thing that you got to add on. And, of course, you know, you've got a player who is – on your roster, for the most part, who was accused of murder.
Yeah, that's not good.
Right. No.
I mean, Pete, the other thing that goes on with Hernandez, there's the report earlier this year that he shot a guy in the face, and there's a civil suit around that. I mean, how much was going on back from the Florida days all the way to present, and how much did not only Urban Meyer know, but how much did the Patriots and Bill Belichick know about what was going on off the field with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, we're hearing all these stories like, I don't know if you guys saw the Wes Welker story when on the first day of practice he wanted to help with his equipment, and Wes said, no, rookie, and he said something along the lines, don't make me kill you. Now, that's a little taking it over the top because people say stuff like that all the time, and you know, you guys know, you've been in locker room, I'm going to kill you, you know, goofing off and stuff. So they've kind of gone way overboard with it, but now as we look at it, maybe they really didn't. Maybe Wes should have been looking over his back at this crazy guy because you take a guy, that's like taking a friend of yours out for an execution for dissing you supposedly to people that you didn't get along with. There's something really demented in all that, and it's far worse than just, you know, an NFL player committing murder.
Well, the kid's got issues, Pete. You know, we've written a lot of news stories in our day, you and I. When you're not leading with the story that he shot the guy in the face, guy's got some issues. When that's second on his list, he's got some issues.
Yeah.
And now the gun, you know, they say the gun that he threw out might have been the same gun that he used, the one that they remember, because he had an incident in a club up there in New England a year ago, and they found the gun outside in the parking lot, and nobody would claim him. But now there's some talk that might have actually been the same gun he used to kill this guy. And if that's the case, how does that happen? If there's a gun out there and nobody claims it, how does he get it back? How does it get back to him? So it's just nasty. It's a bad situation. But you know, from a football standpoint, now all of a sudden you're New England. 3 years ago, you draft Gronkowski in the second round, and you draft this kid in the fourth round. And I'm not going to sit here and say I didn't praise him for the two picks, because I went back and looked at what I said. I thought Hernandez was a steal, and I thought Gronkowski was a steal. And for 3 years, they got very good production out of him. But when they came out, the one thing people said about Gronkowski was he had a bad back. The thing that people said about Hernandez is he had problems off the field. Well, now here we are now, 3 years later, and Hernandez might be going to prison for life, and the other guy has back issues. So they sold their soul. Patriots are good at that, and when it comes to trying to, you know, flip guys, and I used to joke about the car wash outside the facility, wash the stink off. This time there's no stink being washed off that guy.
Pete, what about looking at the football side of it? You mentioned the Patriots. On the roster right now, they only have one guy out of the top five receivers, reception leaders, that received the ball from Tom Brady, and the one guy is Gronkowski, and we don't know what his status is going to be because of the bad back.
Right, so obviously they went out and drafted two kids, you know, early in the draft at wide receiver, and Dobson, the kid out of Marshall, and they drafted Boyce, a guy I like out of TCU. They went and signed Donnie Jones, who can run a little bit from the Bills. And you guys know, you saw him here last year. The one thing that about the Patriots, when they came here to Jacksonville, and I did that game here, they were a slow team all the way around. That's how good Brady is, because they're not fast. They weren't fast in any position. They weren't fast in the secondary. They didn't have great fast speed pass rushers. They weren't fast outside, and they didn't have fast runners. Now they might be moving to something where they're a little bit different. They do need Gronkowski back, but boy, they sure lack speed when I saw him play here last year.
Well, obviously there's going to be a tremendous amount of attention, media coverage of what's going on with Aaron Hernandez, and with that media attention, a couple things have kind of flown under the radar a little bit lately. Well, one of them was the undrafted rookie linebacker from Virginia, Ausar Walcott, who punched a guy outside a New Jersey bar and put the guy in hospital critical condition. He gets released, and that kind of is not even that would be a lead story typically. And then with Maurice Jones-Drew, the incident at the Conk House with no charges being filed, boy, I mean, talk about taking some attention off of two other deals. I mean, this Aaron Hernandez thing is big.
Yeah, and you know, people are all up in arms now. Well, there's 29 arrests, and, you know, since the beginning of the season. And you go back and look at some of those charges. Yeah, there's arrests, but there's a lot of good guys in the NFL, and you guys know, you played in the league. The cross section of people in the NFL getting in trouble is probably pretty comparable to the cross section of the population that gets into trouble. The NFL player is no worse than the people who don't play in the league. It's just that when somebody in the NFL gets in trouble, it's high profile. Now, this one's different because this obviously is a huge charge, but I think for the most part, people sit here and they'll kill the NFL player, and the NFL player is no different than the average person in society.
Pete, let's change gears a little bit, and here on the Jaguars this week, Maurice Jones-Drew was cleared of all charges, or no charges were going to be brought in the incident that happened in the Conk House down in St. Augustine, and a case where, again, like you said, more good guys than not. We all believe Mojo's a good guy. It looks like that charge is going to go away completely.
Yeah, and boy, Mojo and whoever was involved in that should be happy that they don't have the same video coverage that they have up in Boston to see Hernandez trekking through in his rental car, because the video from the conch house was horrible. You couldn't make out anything from that. And you know, I'm still curious, is there an enhanced video somewhere? And now that we have this talk of a civil suit, is there an enhanced videotape of what went on there? But I'll be honest with you, after I watched that, the little, you know, what I could see from it, how the heck could he have possibly known that a guy in a green shirt when everybody else was wearing orange was in security? And not that that makes it right or wrong, but if you got a buddy of yours and you see a guy in a green shirt throwing a right cross at one of your buddies, your initial reaction, right or wrong, because you probably shouldn't do it in the first place, is probably to defend them and take a poke. So I'm going to give Maurice a little bit of a pass here in the fact that he shouldn't have done it. It was dumb to do it. But if you were trying to defend one of your buddies and you didn't know it was security trying to separate anything, then I think you got to give him a little bit of a pass.
Well, Pete, he's saying he didn't do it.
Well, I mean, maybe he didn't do it. You can't tell if he did. The videotape sure as heck doesn't tell if he did, but I'm sure there's enough witnesses that can be drummed up that if he did do it, then we'll find out the truth. To be honest with you, how the heck can you tell from that videotape? The only thing you could tell from that videotape was that poor girl went over the railing.
That's the first thing Fortunato said. That's the person he felt bad for.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been down there in years. But I don't remember that railing, but I don't think it's all that high. But still, if somebody gets pushed over the side, I mean, my gosh. The other thing, too, guys, is we heard the stories about, oh, this kid was taken out in an ambulance, he was out cold, da-da-da. And then you see the videotape, and you see him with his shirt off going, following through right where Maurice went after the fact.
Yeah, I don't know. That video is not real clear to me.
I couldn't tell
anything. Yeah, the story doesn't quite
any
make
part
sense.
Of it.
I couldn't
the only thing we can see from the video,
shirt,
the only thing we can definitively see from the videotape is Maurice waddling out.
More of that, folks. More of that to come starting on August the 12th. Pete, have a good trip to Aruba. Tell Casey we said hello and thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Pete.
Tonight.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. We take this break, Joe.
All right, Brian. Hey, ladies, for the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan. That's you gals 18 and older. It's the Jaguars Women's Club. The unique program is designed to connect with, provide exclusive experiences for, and engage the Jags female fans through updates and special offers, all kinds of events, and other great benefits. More info, go to jaguars.com/womensclub. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back, Jaguars This Week. Three more shows after this, folks. We end this program on the 17th. You know, we all agreed during the break that the Patriots have a little stink on them with this, all the public relations and all that's going on. So here's a question, and there's no right or wrong, or maybe there is.
Yeah, I'll be right and Jeff will be wrong.
All right, well, we'll decide here. Well, John's got an opinion on this one, too, so I'm going to start with him.
Oh.
Because he has to fight you for the airtime. So, right or wrong, I mean, with the stink that this thing has, and boy, they got a lot of evidence on him. If he is charged with murder, was it worth it for them to draft him in the fourth round? And he had 18 touchdowns and 175 catches, and they won a lot of games, and he was part of a big offense. Was it worth it?
On the field, it was. Would they do it over again? No. But,
yeah, but I mean,
on the field, it was worth it.
Yeah, but you can't look at it just on the field.
Yeah, you're looking at the whole thing. You know, the holistic approach. Was it worth it to take a guy that you knew had off-the-field concerns, and you know they knew a lot of it.
Well,
you didn't know he was going to murder somebody, but you knew that he was involved with some bad people.
Well, no. If you know he's going to murder somebody, then it's not.
You don't. But I'm asking you to go back and say, yeah, that was probably not worth it.
But there's no probably to it. You brought a guy into your community that was some part of a murder.
I tend to think the way that you do. But
knowing he murdered a guy, it was not worth it. But there's no way you can know that when you draft.
Hindsight's 20/20, and looking at where we are right now, no, it was not worth it.
All right, and that's why I asked the question earlier. Do you suppose now?
I know John's okay with it, but no, it's not.
With the murder part, but if you look at on the field, a fourth-round pick to have produced.
You can't just look on the field. You have to. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's about winning and bringing a championship to the ball club. But we also know in today's NFL, in today's environment, and really in today's society of being part of a community, which every franchise is, you are a part of the fabric of the community in a very big way. And if one of your members kills somebody, I don't care if he's an undrafted rookie free agent all the way to a first rounder,
You're saying murder is wrong. I will not argue that.
When you look back, it's not a good pick.
Right.
Well, the NFL has just said that they will no longer sell the 81 jersey of Aaron Hernandez online anymore.
That's probably
well, who's going to buy it?
Well, you never know. You never know. You know, it's a shame because, you know, this
somebody would have bought
this,
it. Sure.
This happens the week in which the NFL is holding its annual NFL Rookie Symposium, which they brought the AFC rookies in on Sunday, and they're finished up today. And then the NFC rookies are being a part of that starting today going through Sunday, and that's in somewhere in Ohio.
It's in Canton, Ohio at the Hall of Fame.
It's not in Canton. It's in another town. But either way, I mean, they try to do everything to – educate the players on making the smart decision, bringing in guys that played
Jeff,
the game or played in the pros to learn.
This is such an outlier. I know. I mean, listen, I mean, you're not all of a sudden going to have an anti-murder class. I mean, don't commit murder. No, duh. I mean, I don't care if you're a football player or an executive or a housewife or anything in between.
If you're going to do that, you're not going to listen in that class.
No,
you're right. But I mean, still, the NFL, they try to do so much to help the young players along.
There's more good. There's a lot more good guys than.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I happened to listen to a radio program today where some guy came out and said the NFL has a drug and gun problem. I was like, are you nuts?
Just shut. I mean,
that was a stupid statement. That was an absolutely stupid statement.
All right, let's talk.
You heard
something.
A stupid statement on the radio, Jeff?
Yeah,
This show. Let's talk about something much more positive and exciting than this.
About
story.
A team involved in the community.
Absolutely, fabric of the community. We're rounding out the Jaguar Caravan Thursday night, tomorrow night in Clay County, one of our favorite spots. When tons of Jag fans in Clay County will be at the Moose Haven on 17, right off 17, 1701 Park Avenue. And look forward to everyone getting out there, all you Clay County residents. And
by the way, doesn't everyone in Clay County know where Moose Haven is?
Well, probably. But if you're not from Clay County, come on out and join. It's a good time.
Who's going to be there?
Oh, gosh.
Besides you.
Will Rackley, Brian Anger, I'm not sure who else. But what's remarkable about the Jaguars really is the level of player who are at the caravans.
Yeah, and we've been
every organization does that.
I mean, you think about where we've been on this caravan. Orlando, Daytona, Palm Coast.
Waycross.
Savannah,
Valdosta,
Tallahassee, Gainesville, and Brunswick.
And now you're
and
here.
Clay County, baby.
Finishing it all up. Thanks, guys.
Nassau County.
Appreciate
Nocatee,
it.
Where Logs hosted it.
We'll talk to you next week if Tony's done. You done?
I'm done.
See you.